Hello, everybody. Brian here from quantlabs.net. Okay, so in this particular podcast, this is just a test to see the reaction of it on as a podcast form. And I'm just kind of very interested in this because it does go into level of latency, high frequency trading, and all that, especially in C++. So this is going to get really deep, technical, nerdy, geeky, whatever you want to call it. So let's get started here. All right, so I came across an article in the CPP subreddit on reddit.com. This post is called Latency Sensitive Applications and the Memory Subsystem Keeping the Data in the Cache, Johnny's Software Lab. So I'm going to keep it as high level as I can. Again, I'm no expert in this because I'm really more into Python. I do have a really big interest to get back into the C++. I find it very challenging. And more, most of my live trading right now is TradingView with that Traders Post as I've mentioned last week. But it doesn't mean I can't really see the usage here with these posts. So I'm over at this website, Johnny S or Johnny's swlab.com. So this is Johnny's Software Lab. We help you deliver SaaS software. All right, so this was posted yesterday, and the name of the article is Latency Sensitive Applications and the Memory Subsystem Keeping Data in the Cache. We at Johnny Software Lab LLC are experts in performance. If performance is in any way a concern in your software project, contact us. Okay, so these guys are, I guess, consulting wise, will help you maximize your or minimize your latency in your application. So I'm going to go by section by section. Don't expect any code here, but you'll find out these referred sites. First one's a quick introduction to latency sensitive application. So generally, it says there's two general types of latency sensitive applications: real-time applications and low latency applications. In the world of HFT, high frequency trading, I'd be more geared towards they look at real-time applications, not low latency that we always hear about. So when a response and an input must be specified time frame, many automotive systems, industrial automation, medical systems are like this. So when it comes to memory, I'm reading out of the article here. When it comes to market performance in latency sensitive environments, these two things are important. Relevant data should be the fastest level of cache as possible. This will help ensure fast access to it when it's needed. No unnecessary hardware or software mechanisms related to memory management should kick in during the access to the data. Things like swapping, TLB cache misses, or physical memory allocation introduces additional latency and slowdown in the response. So basically, this is why a lot of software we're talking about in HFT related systems are going to be custom coded in their own custom late their own custom kernel. There's also their hardware based and purely hardware based. I've mentioned that in the past. I think it was DPK as an option as well. So be aware of that. So again, this is now techniques. This is, I guess, various techniques here. Let's see here. So we have the first one called software cache warming. There's some coding examples here and snippets and showing you the pros and cons of it. And it says here, you need to be careful with this type of cache warming because the data can that you're receiving is not necessarily random. Imagine that packets come in and burst where the most packets have the same identifier. So another example is if you're sitting on an exchange direct market access, like the CME, let's say, you'll be sent your network packets. And then this is what we're talking about, how you process them. And again, continuing cache warming, as we present in the above code snippet, would begin bring useless data to the cache, thereby evicting useful data. Therefore, instead of keeping the cache warm using random values, you would need to keep the cache warm using some values that came in the past. Okay, so there's hardware cache warming. So some CPUs offer hardware mechanisms that can do that, hardware mechanisms that the application just needs to use some kind of API to let the CPU know which part of the memory is important, where we'll take care of the rest. So this is very, very low level. There are two processes here. Intel, this is called cache pseudo locking, implemented as part of the Intel resource director technology, And then there's AMD called L3 cache range reservation. From what I remember, this is the better place to form. Allows the user to reserve a physical address range that will be kept in L3 cache. Fortunately, AMD user manual only mentions this feature and doesn't give examples of how to do it from user space. Just looking for any other coding techniques here. So there's been some experiments done, I guess. Again, this is all coding related. We performed the experiment with three different setups: regular hash map, reload zero. When the program is not doing critical access, it continuously assesses the same data with value zero. Reload random, when the program is not doing critical access, it is necessarily a random value in the hash map. So there's some performance here: number of entries, regular, reload zero, random time. So which one's the fastest? From the above table, we can draw several conclusions. Both average latency and latency deviation is smaller for the reload random version compared to the other two versions. This means that thy system will respond more quickly, both on average, but also the worst response time will be better. Advantage of reload random version are the biggest for the small to medium number of entries in the hash map. Very large hash map don't profit too much from the reloading random elements in the busy loop. So again, there's a summary here. Software data warming, where we access critical data where the program is idle to prevent it from being evicted from the data cache. So again, very low level, C++. Again, something like a custom kernel from Linux to minimize all other junky processes that don't conflict with this type of performance. Hardware data warming, where we configure the hardware not to evict critical data from the data cache. All right, so there has been responses on the subreddit post. Some more coding examples. There are two costs to be aware of with code like this. Quite likely, a code will be in the middle of a dummy hash map lookup when a packet actually arrives, and so on. So this is an interesting one. Would be nice to see a real-world case on real data, not artificial benchmark, when no other thread wants to use the cache and where only hash map data is important. Interesting. The actual use case is for probably fairly small. We need something which needs to run often with low latency, but some hasn't ran off enough for it to be in the caches already, and not to be concerned with wasting cycles that could be used by other threads or cache space that could have been more frequently used for data. So another reference, they're just trying to show that cache warming can work, but how you implement it so it works in your case will depend on your data. So again, architecture is obviously important here. Latency sensitive applications are comparatively few. Wasting resources is not as much of a concern because they care about, what they care about is response time, not throughput. I would not agree with that. If you have a narrow window of time to execute something and need to wait, you'll want to do a busy loop instead of waiting and potentially being rescheduled too late. For the lowest possible latency, you would pin the thread to a core and have it spin forever waiting to do this one specific task. This thread can never sleeps and doesn't share L1 cache with other threads for L2, depending upon the type of CPU and thread arrangement, and never evicts important data by running other code. So again, it depends upon your processor. Now remember, this is all posted in the last 24 hours. This is not like years ago where this kind of knowledge sharing is obsolete. Okay, cache allocation hardware is pretty wild. If you're in an Enuma system. You also don't want to partition a space across NUMA nodes and do request steering for the data path of the NIC. You can probably also keep the hottest keys in the FPGA block RAM. Now, I mentioned the FPGA in my prior podcast. Here's the interesting one. Cloud V NICs, virtual NICs, unfortunately lack the capabilities to do this, much to my frustration. I hope that cloud starts to offer P4 NIC at some point so I can stop using the gigantic FPGA they have for, take this 8-byte block at this offset as unit 64 type and modulo by the number of cores, use that as the cues to put in it. Last comment here. So cloud, so here you have to do everything local. This kind of hardware is very expensive. It'd be interesting to see how the new latest AI boards from GPU boards come from NVIDIA, how they handle all this as well. Possible solution to be better amortized warm up could be to use a hash map to prioritize the packets to warm up based on the fact the just bias, the randomization to favor the most common packets. You'd use the same priority to improve the cache stampede prevention by biasing XFetch on it as well. There you go. Some low level stuff. This is very latency level HFT stuff. So if you understand it, congrats. If you don't, learn about it. But this is what the HFT firms that pay really well are looking for people that understand this type of technology. And they pay big as a network expert in this space. Doesn't mean have anything to do with quant. It's nothing to do with actual trading. This is a specialized need as well. So there you go. If you want to discuss this or try to, or hopefully someone will open up about it, go over to the Discord. I'll have the link to the Discord. On top of that as well, we've got our newsletter as well. So keep up to date with the latest upcoming changes on the new website. Thanks, Thing. Over and out.